This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful. You know, the time of year is getting closer and closer. It's almost time for turkey.
I know it.
And then we'll go right into Christmas.
Goodness gracious. What is it? 3 weeks from, I think this weekend is, like, this will be Thanksgiving weekend. I think Thanksgiving is a little bit early this year. It's like the 23rd or 22nd, something like that. So it's like, golly, what happened? It's like all of a sudden we're in November and it's like, oh my word, like the holiday season is here. And so, you know, did you ever get your lights worked out? Do they come out and do them? Are they scheduled for the Christmas lights?
They're scheduled. I've got it covered. They're coming the day after Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay. All right. Good deal.
Yes, they're coming the day after Thanksgiving, doing all the lights. We're going to hope for the best. We're going to say it's going to be wonderful.
What I feel like is that you're remembering the disaster from last year and declaring something different for this year.
That's right. I'm saying this is going to be good. These people wouldn't dare do this. And you know, the people that I had to call last year to replace all the work the bad guy done, they're not in business anymore. That's the sad part, because I would have used them again, because they were very good, very efficient. And it was a lady-owned company, by the way.
Was it really?
Yes. These two sisters owned that company. They bought this franchise, and they were just had uniform drivers. Everything was just right up to snuff. They had new little vans, and that was what worried me. When I saw everything was new, I thought, ladies, you've spent too much. Mm. I don't know how you're going to make it. But they were so nice, and they came out here. They checked on their men. They helped. They did a lot of work. When they saw the guy had put the lights on wrong, they simply told me. They took them down and redid every light.
Wow.
Yes, and I really liked them. And then I found out I can't even find them now. They're out of business.
Oh. That's a shame. You know, you find a service provider or something that you like, and then all of a sudden, they're not there anymore. Golly, that's a bummer.
And so I got two bids. One was these firemen that do it all year. And lo and behold, the guy that does my lawns and does all this, he does it. Hmm. And he asked me, he said, would you like for us to do it? And I said, well, I don't know. And so then I sent him a message. I said, how many houses have you done? He said, do you mean this year or altogether? I said, and he said, I do 100 a year.
Oh, wow.
I said, well, I think you know how to do it then.
Yeah.
You're doing 100 a year.
Jeez.
And we've talked about this. It's a very profitable deal.
It is. You could literally do nothing but holiday lights and then like nothing else for like 8 months or 9 months.
That's right. And especially if you're doing big houses, because you're making a lot more money. Of course, the one story went fast.
Yeah.
You know, you get in, you get out. Robson Ranch, which is a development over here by me, I heard that one guy is going to do all the houses for Robson Ranch.
Really?
I go, oh my gosh, you talk about a bird nest on the ground.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people live there, but it's got to be at least maybe 200 or 250.
Jeez.
I don't know. But it's a lot of people live there, and he got the contract.
Wow. He's going to make a fortune.
Everybody liked him, and he doesn't have to do anything else.
I know it. It's like that's the business model we're going after.
That's right. That's the one everybody should be looking at, you know. I mean, they're all neighbors. They all know each other. Start at one end of the street and just keep going.
Jeez.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. It's a heck of a deal.
That is a great deal. Golly, that's
amazing.
Yeah,
you talk about people making good and not having any inventory. All they have is the labor. I mean, what more could you ask for?
I know. You don't have to go buy a whole bunch of stuff and stock shelves and oh, you don't rent property.
That's right.
You don't. It's like you just kind of show up and it's like time, and that's about it. Wow.
That's right.
That is a great deal.
I mean, there's not many things quite as lucrative as that.
I just can't believe that we're at this time of year already. It's just, you know, I remember what, like, it seems like a couple of weeks ago, you know, you were talking about having this big heat wave and it was like 1,000 degrees and it hadn't had rain. And then all of a sudden you had rain. And then now all of a sudden it's like, you know, cold and we're like 3 weeks from Thanksgiving. And it's like we went from summer to winter, like almost overnight. It's just, what's happening? I don't understand.
You know, when we get up in the mornings and it's 27 at 7 o'clock, you know that winter has finally got here, don't we?
Are you serious? Is it in the 20s?
Yeah, in the 20s. And at 7 o'clock in the morning, it was 27 degrees.
Wow. Jeez. I remember.
And, you know, I don't know what to think. They say it's going to get warm again, then it's going to get cold again. And the other day in the panhandle, they were talking about snow.
I know it. Oh, I know.
I mean, Amarillo was talking about snow. And I'm going, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You know?
Jeez.
It's a crazy world.
Yeah. You look around and it doesn't make any sense. It's just we're in this weird time warp thing. Everything's just, it's almost like everything's like on its head. It's all upside down. So strange.
And everybody better have their turkey planned out, ordered, standing by.
Yeah.
Because you know how it'll get right at the last minute.
Yes. And
everything will get scarce.
Well, you're not doing the Cajun thing this year, you said, right? You're doing something different? You're cooking?
No, I said I'm going to do some cooking, but I've also bought a lot from Cajun turkey already.
You've already...
It's in the deep freeze.
Oh.
I've got a lot of stuff in the deep freeze from them.
It's already ready to go.
It's already there. It's already ready.
Wow.
We just have to unthaw it, and that's it. Oh, no, I didn't pass up the turkey from there. Or any other thing.
So
it's going to be easy peasy.
So the feast is already ready.
That's right. I've got almost everything done because remember they had this sale back a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Because they weren't doing any business. And they knocked 30% off of everything.
That's right. Yeah.
I just made out my list and went and got everything.
Oh, my word. It sounds amazing. And they've got everything.
They have everything. I mean, they have so many wonderful items. It's just crazy.
Golly. You know, we're talking about, you know, Thanksgiving right around the corner, and then you've got Chris. We're going to blink and we're going to be into January already, and then we're going to blink again and then football season will be over.
Then, you
know,
wow.
It's like, I know. It's like we're at warp speed. Time seems to be going faster. And I don't understand. I can't quite keep up with it.
And, you know, the amazing thing to me is men and their football.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the grandson, you know, he's just 6 years old. As you know, he plays. And the other day when it was raining, I said, surely they'll cancel this. It's little six-year-olds. They would not cancel their game.
Oh, no.
They played in the rain at 6 years old. That is really bad. I mean, these fathers and coaches are crazy. I mean, you'd think it was a college game.
Gee, were they upright or were they like laying on the ground for most of it?
Well, I mean, they had a little tent. For when they weren't playing. That's crazy. You know, I love sports, but I think that you're starting them off too early for them to be in the rain. I don't think it's necessary. And even when it's cold, they have to practice.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's just...
At six?
Oh, yeah. At 6 years old, they're called to practice no matter how cold it is.
Holy
and you know what
Lord.
They said? They better dress warm.
Oh. Oh.
I wanted to have a talk with them, but everybody prevailed.
They shut that down in a hurry.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't want Faye Bagby out there talking to them.
I have a feeling if you were to go out there and talk to them, that wouldn't go very well.
It wouldn't have went very well. No, it would have been a bad deal.
Wow.
I just wanted to tell them what I thought, you know, in no uncertain terms. Oh, my gosh.
Instead of talking to them, you'll have to send them a sharply worded letter.
Maybe a good email would have sufficed. But, yeah. You know,
a well-thought-out, well-crafted, nice, kind, polite email.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
It could have been a little bit subtle, but it got the message across.
Clear and concise and to the point. Oh, my goodness. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I'm going to ask the question. I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but I know we've got some new people that have never listened before who are now listening. And does the fact that we are into the holiday season now, we're what, the 4th of November already, just 3 weeks away from Thanksgiving, just a couple of, you know, like 2 months, you know, from or less than 2 months from Christmas. Does that change anything as far as investing for life settlements, annuities, anything like that? Does anything different?
Well, you know, everybody has to think about their retirement. There's one way to think about all this. Somebody gave me an example. It's like climbing a mountain. If you were going up a mountain, you would make sure you had everything you're going to need. But then you've got to come back down that mountain as you get older. Mm-hmm. And when you come down, you want to be prepared. So what everybody's saying is when you start on the retirement downside, are you really prepared for this? Do you have everything in line, or are you just guessing or hoping? Because you have to think about, could I run out of money? And I've seen this on a lot of things lately, telling people, if you don't do this right, you're going to run out of money. And you need to calculate this out. You need to make sure you're going to have enough money to live as long as you do. You don't want the money to run out before you do. So there's a lot of things people are considering right now. They're considering, you know, getting to safer investments because you've got to have enough to retire. And if you have any losses at the last minute, you will not be retiring.
Mm, that's a
good
point.
You'll have to wait till you have more money. And there's nothing any worse than getting ready for retirement and to say, I can't do it. You know, we've lost too much money. So the best way is to be conservative and not lose any money after 60 years old.
Mm.
Because 67 is really important because that's when you're still working. Now, I've got some people who are 73 and 74 still working. But if you plan to retire like at 70 or 74, at 60, you need to start preparing for a substantial downturn in a few years. You've got to figure out how much money you're going to need monthly, okay? Multiply that out. How many years do you have enough money for? Do you have enough for 10, 15, or do you only have enough for 5?
And that's to maintain the same kind of lifestyle, right? It's not, okay, we're going to retire, so then all of a sudden, you know, on day one, we're going to cut back, we're going to start, you know, shaving this off.
No.
And you want to maintain the same... I guess, lifestyle that you're at now. And so when you're calculating, that's what you want to keep in mind, right?
Yes. When I talk to a lot of people, they say, no, I have no intention of changing anything. You know, this is my expenses. I want to live the same. You know, I live in a nice house. We have nice cars. We take vacations. I say, okay, in your retirement, you need to allow for at least one vacation a year, maybe two. You know, there's a lot of things you could be doing if you're well fixed, if you've got everything set up right. If you don't, you may be working till you're 80. If they don't fire you, like the client said last week, you know, said, we're going to let you go.
No.
I mean, he said it was just that simple.
Really?
You know, yes. The oil company just said, you know, we're hiring younger people. We don't need you anymore.
Oh, my goodness.
And they don't have to have a lot of experience. It's because they're cheap. I don't know if that's the right word, but they cost a lot less than a seasoned employee.
Boy, that's harsh.
So they're going to hire the it is harsh. But a lot of the big, big oil companies are doing it. They're just saying, hey, we can hire these young engineers. We don't have to pay them near as much. And our bottom line, it will look a lot better. So that's what they're doing. They're letting the older engineers go, which is crazy. They're the ones with all the knowledge.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, a lot of the companies are telling me, Faye, have you checked what the people have to make sure they have enough? Then the other thing is, if you take too much every month, you will run out. So there's a fine line there. You want to make enough to retire, and then you don't want to take so much every month. And people that have talked to me, we calculate it. Okay, how much a year do you need to live on and live comfortably? Is it 25,000? No. 50? A lot of them say 50 to 100 that they can live on that comfortably. So if it's going to take 50,000 a year, you need to calculate it out. How much do I have? Do I have enough to do it? And if you're talking 100 or more, you better have about $3 million in the kitty.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to need about three.
So you're basically doing a retirement budget, and then people kind of stick to that. But it's the lifestyle that they're used to, so there's not a lot of changes that they have to adapt to, I guess, post-retirement.
No, people do not want change.
Uh-uh.
They still want to get a new car every few years. They still want to eat out. They want to go shopping, the women do. The men plan to play golf. So if you want to have a nice retirement, you need to calculate it out and say, okay, I need enough money for at least 10 years after I retire. And a lot of people say, no, I need enough for 15 to 20.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of money, you know. And I always ask people, how long do you plan to live? You know, if you plan to live a long time, we need to calculate this out and see how much you can take out every year. And remember, you have to take a certain amount out. You've got to get that minimum distribution when you're 73. So, and I've got several people that are fixing to do that, and they're working with us on some annuities rather than their life settlements. They've accumulated enough in life settlements. They're going to transfer some of that now over to annuities. And the reason is they're going to take monthly or annual out of it. So they need it liquid enough that they can do that.
Is it?
People that have got life settlements, they're just going to make withdrawals from that. But a lot of people want that additional safety of an annuity.
I don't know how to ask what I'm trying to ask. So forgive me if this is wonky when it comes out. But when people are setting up retirement, is it a good idea, or is it possible maybe to have your your kitty in the bank, and then once you hit to retirement, instead of drawing out and just like bleeding money or hemorrhaging cash out of your account, essentially set up your, whether it's life settlements or annuities, and then essentially each year live off just the interest and never touch the principal. Is that a thing?
Yes, I have a lot of people that do that. They just say, Faye, I don't need any money for 3 to 4 years after retirement. You know, I've got other things I can do. Now, the people that are with the large companies, like the oil companies, when we transfer that money from the oil company, they have a large sum of money, you know, because they've been with the oil company 20 or 30 years. So they're going to come to us with probably $2 million. So if you've got 2 to 3 million, it's going to be sufficient, because you're going to figure out, you know, we need 40,000 a year out of that, or 75. Very few want just 40, but I have some that say 40,000 a year is enough. But if you're taking 50,000 a year, you need at least 520,000. But most people need more than that to retire.
So,
and it depends.
I guess kind of what I'm asking, maybe big picture, is when you're planning out the budget for, like, how much people need each year to live on after they retire, without changing lifestyles, if they're living only off of interest, they don't have to worry about essentially running out of money. They don't have to say, okay, we're going to plan for 10 years, whereas if they retire at, say, 73 and then, you know, live until like 100, they don't have to worry. It's like, uh-oh, we've got until, you know, we've got 10 years and then, you know, we're done. That could essentially, they could realistically live forever and not worry about running out of money because they're living off of interest.
Right? That's right. And a lot of people can. A lot of people with us say, okay, I want to take 5% a year. If they take 5% a year, their money's going to last a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
And then, like you say, the ones that don't take anything for 4 or 5 years, this really helps. The interest is a chance to really build up during that time. So they've got a large accumulation of interest just sitting there. So like you say, they're going to start taking interest, and they're not going to be taking any of the principal. The money will last a long time. Now, if they get into their principal, it's going to cut it short. So it's good to always try to have enough in retirement that you're just living on the interest.
So a couple.
And remember, the first thing I ask them is, your home paid for, everything paid for. If everything's paid for, you're home free, because it's not going to take near as much money to live.
Yeah. Okay, so a couple minutes ago, you said something about how people, as they get to, like, their retirement, once they go from pre-retirement to post-retirement, some people are starting to switch or add annuities from life settlements. Is that a good plan, just to kind of keep things fluid? Is that what you were?
I think so, because I've got a lot of people that have two different accounts with me. They have a regular account, then they have their IRAs. So we're working on the IRA. In other words, the other money, they may just let it sit there. But the IRAs, we know they're going to have to start taking money out if they're in their 70s. So we're transferring the IRAs to annuities where they can start taking money out. Because remember, you've got to have enough cash in an IRA at 73 to start making your distributions. If you don't, you can get in trouble. Now, a lot of people have more than one IRA. So if they have more than one IRA, if everything with me is in life settlements, they're okay, because they've got that other IRA to draw from. But you, in your 70s, you've got to have it in a liquid investment where you can make your withdrawals. So that's why we're doing this on IRAs. The other, they can still make great money in their life settlements, but they're going to need some over here in their retirement account to make the withdrawals.
Okay.
Now, you could do it a different way. If you've got enough cash in your life settlement, you know, we can take money out of it every year, even over here. But it's really easy if we've got it in an annuity, because it's making money, you're getting interest, and then you're making your distribution. Another thing I've got a client fixing to do, he's going to do one of the new annuities that's got the 17% deal this year, you know, where you get that bonus. And then what he's going to do, he's going to start taking his distribution next year. And after you, when you make the distribution, it's not all tax. It's just part of it. 3.86, is, I believe, is what it is for your taxes. You take that out, send it to the government, then you've got the rest of your money you took, and we're going to put that then in an annuity, because the tax is already paid now. So So we're just going to add that every year to an annuity. And what he's going to do this year, he's going to set that up starting at the end of this year. And he'll get that 17% bonus. At the end of the term, when he starts taking money out, he gets an additional 4% then.
Mm.
It's got a lot of extra things. And he's really smart. So he's setting this up. He called me this week and said, Faye, could I do it that way? And I said, yes. He said, okay, now next year, every time I contribute, will I get the 17%? I said, yes. For 7 years, you'll get the 17% bonus.
Jeez.
That's for 7 years.
That's each year.
Each year that you put money in, it'll be 17% bonus for 7 years.
Wow.
The money that you put in. I mean, you cannot beat that.
Yeah. Wow. That's a big return. Good Lord.
That's a big return.
And these are all compound, right?
That's right. It's all compound interest. And remember, the taxes have already been paid. So you're not, once he's putting it in, it'll only be taxed on the new money, on your profit, okay? So he can do that every year. And so he's got his life settlements over here on the left. And then he's going to have the IRA over here. And this is brilliant what he thought about doing. I didn't even think about it, about him doing it that way. But he's going to do the bonus every year with the money out of the IRA. Because
genius.
He has to take it out anyway. So it's really a genius deal. So every year that he makes that withdrawal, he'll send the taxes into the government, then that extra money will go over here in the annuity and get the 17% bonus. How about that?
I'm just sitting here kind of like running the math in my head. I'm thinking, wow, I don't have, is that, do most people, is that something that people should be doing? Is this kind of like a different approach that maybe would be
it
good
for
people?
It is a different approach, one I wouldn't have thought about.
Yeah.
So you can do your IRA this way. You're fixing to have to take money out. So you've got the IRA, let's say, with us or someone else. If it's with someone else, you transfer it over to us, and then every time you take that out, then we put the difference back into the annuity.
Wow, it's brilliant.
You have to make the withdrawal, but then we'll put it back in in a different annuity there.
Wow.
So that's a great idea.
Boy.
I just didn't think of it. I wish I had myself.
It's almost like recycling money.
It is. That's what you're doing. You're recycling your money. Who wouldn't follow that? And a lot of people right now are thinking about, I've had several people do annuities this week, and all of them had an IRA, and then they had a regular account. This is in addition to the money they have with me. And so they're bringing the money over. One lady said she's tired of losing money over the brokerage house. The fees are getting her down. So we explained to her how this is going to work, you know. The fees are gone, so she's going to have an inherited IRA. Now, an inherited IRA, you have to start taking money out, and it all has to be cleared out in 10 years, okay? So she knows that. So anybody that's got an inherited IRA, you need it in something liquid because you have to take money out because you've got to get it to zero out of that account in 10 years. You don't have to spend it, but you have to get it out from an IRA to regular money, okay? So you've got 10 years to start making withdrawals.
All right.
So you need to be making those withdrawals if it's an inherited IRA. So she's going to do that. And then she's got a regular account that she's putting with us that will start drawing interest, and she can take money out of it every year. She probably won't. She's probably too young to do that right now. So it just accumulates really good if you've got money starting next year and you're getting interest on it every year. It's compound interest. You don't pay taxes till you take it out. So there's so many advantages to that for people that are, you know, in their 60s or their 70s.
Good Lord. It's just, yeah. You know, as you kind of put together the timeline in like different strategies and like where people are in their, not only their investment career, but their, you know, retirement phase, you know, where if they're, you know, 5 years out or, you know, 5 years already into retirement, it really just, it makes a lot of sense the way that some of these are being laid out. It does kind of bring up the question though. You started talking about, you know, distributions. Are there any thing that, I don't know, is there anything that people should be doing or concerned about or think about or need to get done before the end of the year? Requirements?
Well, now this year, everybody that's of age, you know, they have to take that withdrawal. And if they don't, there's a 50% penalty.
Ooh, that's steep.
Yeah, so if you're that age and you say, oh, I'll skip this year, you better not.
Ooh.
You better do it. Because we've had people that did forget. Now, if it's in an annuity, we know about it, and we'll make sure you take it out. But we have people sometimes, they don't tell us that they need to, and guess what? They didn't have anything liquid to take it out of.
Ooh.
And this is a bad deal. You've got to have it in something you can get it out of, okay? And I've had people that said, well, I've got all my money tied up. I said, then you've got to sell something to get the cash to take it out.
Because
the government frowns on an IRA, and you're 72 and a half, and that was the old rule, and you didn't take anything out. You've got to take it out every year. And it's not all taxes. You can put the rest of it in another account, like we're talking about on these annuities, which works perfectly. It's a great idea. And then people that have life settlements, you know, they don't have to do anything until they're, you know, in their 70s. But if they've got it with us and they've got liquid in their account, they can take it out of that to make that, you know, RMD. But you've got to do it by the end of the year. That's the law.
Ian,
so if you wait till March, you're going to be in trouble because the penalty's high.
That, what'd you say, 50% penalty?
Yeah, jeez. 50%. If you don't take it out, the government is so afraid we're all going to die before we start paying that.
Clearly.
Remember, the taxes haven't been paid in 20 years or 10 years.
They're going to get their share.
They're going to get it before you go, let me tell you.
Wow.
Because you have to pay that. So it's best to have this set up, an account where you can get to some cash. If you've got everything fully invested, and you can't get to it, then you're in trouble because you're going to have to sell something to get to the cash.
Oh, geez.
I remember several years ago, there was a guy that had everything invested, had no cash. He came to me, and we bought some of his assets to help him out. We bought enough assets he had the money to give to the government.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's a bad deal.
Yeah, that's a situation and a half. Golly.
It is. So you have to have everything in line, have it done right. It's just like your wills and your trust and all this. You don't want to wake up some morning and say, well, the person that I don't really want to get this is going to get the money.
Ugh.
And one way you keep them from it, if you have an annuity, the only people involved in it is whoever the heirs are. Your beneficiaries get the money. I had somebody call me this last week about this. And I said, it's not part of the other estate. They said, well, what about my will? The will has nothing to do with an annuity.
Completely separate.
The annuity has its own beneficiaries. It's separate from everything else you've done. So if you've got someone you don't trust, and everybody does, I found out, then you put it in an annuity, and you name the beneficiaries.
So if something were
and
to
those
happen.
Beneficiaries, yes. We had a client has recently passed away, and her daughter called me this week and said, well, I am the executor of my mother's wills, and here's who the beneficiaries are. I said, wait a minute. It hadn't worked that way. I said, the will has nothing to do with annuities. The annuities have their own beneficiaries. I said, I'm sure it's you and your sister, but I said, we have to check it. I said, we have to get a copy of it from the annuity company and look and see who it is. And then you've got to send in a certified death certificate we'll give you the claim form, and that's all there is to it.
So nobody can swoop in and take the annuity.
No, they cannot. And they can't say, oh, the will says I get the will doesn't have anything to do with an annuity. Hmm. The annuity has its own beneficiaries. It's separate from your will.
All right. So if somebody's kind of like taking the kind of like, I guess, buttoning things up, you know, between now and the end of the year, it's sometimes it's a good time that people will go back and, you know, make sure everything is in order and the way they want it set up. If they look at their will, also look at the annuity to make sure, because they're not the same. Is your point?
It is not the same.
Okay.
And whatever you put in, let's say your annuity is 10 years old. Maybe you want to change beneficiaries. All you have to do is let us know that you want to change. We'll send you out the form, and you can make the change. If somebody's not being nice now, you can change it. I mean, I know a lot about people's children because I get these calls, and they say, I've got one I can trust. The other one I cannot. I do not want them involved in it. I say, okay, put the money in annuity. You know, they're not going to be able to contest that. It's going to be it's set in stone. On your will, they can contest it till the cows come home. That's why a lot of people have trust, you know.
I feel like when you say that some people aren't nice now, there's a story in there someplace. I won't ask you to tell it because it could be some privacy
I can't
things.
Tell. I'm sworn to secrecy on all those stories. not wow. Everybody has a wonderful family.
No, they don't.
Some of them do, but not everybody. I just can't swear to that. and I haven't mentioned this today. We had an annuity that matured this week. One person owns it. She bought it in February. It's already matured. She made 35%.
Whoa, 35%.
That's just unbelievable. I wish it had been mine.
Yeah, really?
I mean, you know, for 35%. She did very, very well for herself.
Good Lord. And when did you close that, you said?
We did it in February.
February.
And she just died in October.
Jeez. Good Lord, that's fast.
Yes.
That's a.
It is fast.
35% is nothing to sneeze at. Goodness gracious.
It was nothing to sneeze at. I was properly impressed when I looked it up to see, you know, how much your profit was and to see who was in it.
Wow.
And, yeah. So, you know, we haven't talked a lot about it, but our life settlements are doing very, very well. People are making good money. We've had a lot of maturities this year. We keep having maturities. We've got 10 bids out right now for policies, and all of them are short. They're from 12 months to about 18 months. I think there might be one that's 20-something months, but the rest of them are short. Two of them are brain cancers. I mean, they're really great policies. The premium is good on them. Everything is great. We just don't know if we got them yet. Or how many we got. So everybody that's waiting on life settlements, we're getting close again. We'll get you invested as quickly as possible.
The market's tough right now. It's not you. It's just availability and weird things going on. So
it is really weird right now. We're having trouble getting policies, and then some of them are way too long, and we're not going to take those. And then, as you know, we've had two recensions. And that makes it tough because those people's money came back and we're reinvesting it now. So, but the profit is still great on life settlements. It's still one of the safest investments. Remember, you're investing in a life insurance policy with somebody that has cancer. It has to be terminal cancer or we don't buy the policies. So that's the great thing about it is it is terminal cancer. They're short. People are making good money on it. You know everything about the policy, and it pays 1% a month, and that's the minimum. But they usually pay more than that. Most of them pay 5 to 10% more than what the life expectancy is. So if you want something that's safe, that's, you know, it's in a life insurance policy, I don't know how much safer an investment could be. Life insurance policies always pay they pay 100% of the face value. They're not going to ask you to discount it. And life insurance policies do not go down, people. Your investment does not go down. Remember that, you know, we get a life expectancy on these. It's a good life expectancy. It'll tell you everything you need to know. It'll tell you how much treatment they've had, what kind of cancer, what the prognosis is, everything you need to know to make an intelligent decision to make an investment. You must be accredited to do this. You must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your home.
And that includes minimum investment, like rental properties, not your main residence,
your
but
farm,
like,
your ranch, your cattle. Yes, everything that you would naturally put on a financial statement.
Right.
Your house, they cannot count in Texas.
Okay.
I don't know if you can in other states.
Well, this is where we are, so this is all
that
matters.
That's what we're concerned about. We know about it in Texas, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
That is the government's rules. It's $100,000 is the minimum investment, but you can figure that when the policy matures, you're going to get 100% of your money, you're going to get your interest, and then we do it again. And remember that we use Nevada Trust. They are the trustees on this. The checks are always made to Nevada Trust. They're not made to the company. We don't allow that. It has to go to Nevada Trust. They act as trustee. We open an account with them. Then they make sure the premiums are paid. When the person passes away, the check comes to the bank, and the bank distributes it. That's the safest way to do business.
Nice.
I wish a lot of companies that we know about, I wish they did it this way.
Yeah, yeah, really. It adds a little a layer of security that is good for people, because you don't get that
That's
in the stock market. The broker can kind of do whatever he wants to. So, you know, this is kind of...
He calls the decisions on your money and your account.
Yeah.
And that's why it's always best to have a third party handling your money.
Exactly.
If everybody knew that and did that, it'd be a safe world, and we would never hear anything in the paper or on television that we don't want to hear about.
Yeah.
And it would be glowing reports, wouldn't it?
And we wouldn't have any gossip either.
There you go. We wouldn't know about all these things, let me tell you something.
Oh, wow.
And I would not want to be in real estate right now, no matter what.
Oh.
I mean, it's tough out there. The places in Dallas, I don't know about everywhere else, but they've got 50% vacancies in those high-rise office buildings on the tollway.
Unreal.
50%.
That's
and it's just amazing to me. And then a lot of people are moving out of those high rises because the rent's $23-$24 a foot.
Good Lord. Wow.
And it's a buyer's market right now. You know, you can switch and not pay near as much. And it's just amazing to me what is happening in real estate.
Mm. Yeah, that is not a good place to be right now. And it's almost like, you know, they're kind of like stuck with all these, property inventory with nothing to, you can't, you know, like even malls, you know, they're having to convert malls into other things or having to get creative. You go at, you know, different rental units that are sitting empty and they're just pricing people out. And then it's just a swirling thing that just doesn't seem to be fixing itself. So. Definitely.
Well, I would rather be in life insurance policy than anywhere right now.
Yeah.
Because a life insurance policy, they have everything on these. You know, they've got up their reserves. Their reserves is a lot more than a bank puts up. And they don't make loans. Hmm. Always remember, a company that doesn't make loans is going to be a safer company.
Yeah.
Because if they're making loans, they've got a lot of risk right now. They've got the risk of all the real estate on both sides. So the banks are sweating that right now. But thank goodness every investment we do is a life insurance policy.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter which way you go. If you're in life settlements, it's a life insurance policy. If you're in an annuity, it's a life company that writes the policy. And, you know, the companies we represent are worth $60 billion. They've been in business over 100 years.
Wow.
So, you know, if you've been in business 100 years, I'd say you're a great company.
Yeah.
And it's owned by Texans. It's owned by Texans.
Yes.
And I think that's a good sign. It's not owned by a New Yorker.
Yeah.
Or somebody from New Jersey.
Oh, I was waiting for that one to come up.
Oh, my gosh.
That's your favorite place.
Yeah, just reading. Yeah, I was reading about New Jersey this week, and I go, oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
A lot of stuff that happens right there.
Yeah, not in a good way either.
That's right. But, you know, since we started, we've brought $200 million back to policyholders. And it's a little over $100 million since 2018.
Good Lord.
So people have gotten a lot of money back. They've made a lot of money. They will continue to make money in life settlements and do it safely. Life settlement is a safe investment, I feel like, because it's in a life insurance policy. It's not anything that we would have to worry about.
Yeah. If the stock market crashes, you have nothing to worry about. You've still got it. They've got all the things you said, you know, before, the reserves, they don't have loans. All these things help, you know, people know that, you know, when the policy matures, they will get paid, and they won't get paid at a discount rate or a discount, you know, anything. Like, you get the full value no matter what's going on in the world. So it's a wonderful place for people to be if they're looking for something conservative. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And time has gotten away from us, and I didn't realize how late we are with trivia, but every Saturday around this time we take a break, so what is our topic this morning?
Well, let's talk about an actor that I loved and have loved everything he ever did, Chill Wills.
Ooh.
Did you love Chill Wills? He was born in Sigelville, Texas in 1902. I didn't realize how far back Chill Wills went. But, you know, from his early childhood, he was singing, and I did not remember that Chill Wills ever sang in a band. He sang with the Avalon Boys.
Really?
In the 1930s. Yeah, I didn't remember that. But he was so great. One of his greatest roles, I mean, this is my opinion, was Francis the Talking Mule. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
Gosh, you are too young, man. Because it was so funny when he did the voice of the mule. Everybody went crazy about it. He did a lot of it. And then he played General Ben Kay in the fourth series, Francis Joins the Wax.
Mm.
And he had this real deep voice, and I loved to hear him. One of the other ones was Way Out West. During the 40s, he was with MGM, and he played the police sergeant in City That Never Sleeps.
Really?
He was in Giant.
Ooh,
with Elizabeth Taylor and Rock Hudson.
Classic.
He was in the Alamo. He played in Alamo.
Really?
And he was in Alamo. He was in 40 movies in his career.
Good
he
Lord.
Made 40 dadgum movies. Do you remember McClintock?
Yes.
Okay, he played in McClintock. And that was one of his best roles ever. That was 1963. That was one of my favorite deals he did. And the B.G. Wilcox story on Wagon Train. He played in The Texan. And I can't remember. You don't remember all these.
No.
And then he played a shady rancher named Jim Ed Love on The Rounders.
Wow.
And it also starred Henry Fonda with him. Then he was on Gunsmoke a lot.
Oh, loved Gunsmoke.
Yeah, and so he was on that. Now then, the other funny thing, a lot of people don't know, that he joined Walter Brennan and Efren Gimbolis Jr., and they were for U.S. Senator Barry Goldwater. I'd forgot all that. he was the nominee against Lyndon Johnson. And then in 1968, he refused to support Richard Nixon. So then he went for George C. Wallace. You remember old Wallace?
Oh, yes.
That nut from governor of Alabama, I never will forget that.
Oh, wow.
And I couldn't believe that he endorsed him and Walter Brennan. They were both a little different than everybody else, and so they endorsed that old boy. He also starred in the Gunsmoke episode, A Noose for Dobie Price.
Ooh.
And he played an outlaw, and that was really a good one. He was also on The Virginian.
Really?
And yes, he was on The Virginian. His last role in 1978 was a janitor in Stubby Pringle's Christmas.
Really?
Yeah. I can't believe you don't remember him, because he had this deep, gruff voice, and I think he was one of my favorite actors during that period. And he died on December 15th, 78,
in
California. Yeah. He died of cancer at age 76.
Wow. So it was in 1978. So he worked right up all the way to the end.
Yes. He played, roles right up till the time he died. But I couldn't believe he made 40 movies during that. He was married twice, never had any children. His first wife died in 71.
Really?
So, yeah, just right there at the end. And then he had a different wife, and it doesn't tell anything about her, except that it was in 1973. And that's all it talks about. But his wife, they got married in 28. She lived till 1971.
Wow, that's a long time. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I think he was just that kind of a guy. I mean, he was a true Texan, and, he was just a great guy. And as I said, I loved all the things he did in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't.
But I didn't know he ever sang. I never did hear him sing.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I guess maybe it's just before, before I remember anything, but
you were too young.
I was too young.
To tell me.
Yeah. I'm trying to say it in a nice way.
You're trying to say that you're so young, you don't even remember it. Well, and he quit singing in the band in 38, which is before any of us were even born.
Yeah.
When he did that. So he started playing in like the 40s, so we didn't see any of that until he got older. But and that's what I remember about him. He was middle-aged when I saw him in McClintock, and he was so great during that. So I don't remember anything about him till later years.
Yeah.
But he was one of my favorites.
And
he was also a big poker player, and he would go out to Las Vegas to Benny Binion's, who was founder of the World Series of Poker, and Binion, was from Texas.
Yeah.
And, he played in some big, big poker games out there.
Isn't Binion's one of the ones that they tore down?
Yes.
All right. I thought so. I didn't realize any of that. I didn't know he was a poker player. I didn't know he sang. It's like I kind of came in like around like the Gunsmoke era, because he used to love all those things. So, like, before that, I'm kind of, like, out. But it's I didn't know. I mean, because, you see these people, and you come in anybody's, especially with actors, we come in the middle of their journey, have no idea sometimes of, the different roles and the different talents that they have before we catch them, especially if we catch them, like midlife-ish era. It's like there's so many things that happened before that. It's just kind of fascinating to find out things that people have done before they were on our radar, I guess.
Well, and he played in so many of the early Westerns, like the Alamo and all those, and of course he was on Gunsmoke a lot.
Yeah.
And of course he missed out on, you'll have to go back and see if you can see some of those old ones. Francis the Talking Mule was pretty dadgum funny.
I want to see if I can find some old band stuff, because I'm like, that's interesting to me. I want to see some of that or hear it.
Well, and I never heard of that group, Avalon Boys. I just don't remember that. But Giant and all these others I remembered.
Yeah.
And he played on so many different series, you know, as well as movies. And of course, as I said, I loved McClintock. I thought he was really great.
And Giant's a classic. What, Fonda? Peter Fonda? Was it Peter Fonda?
Yes.
Yes.
No. Rock Hudson, James Dean was in it. Elizabeth Taylor was in Giant.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. I don't remember Fonda ever being in that.
I probably just made that up.
You just made that up to be irrelevant.
I did.
But Roy Calhoun's The Texan, you know, that was later. That was in the 60s.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he played the janitor, what, 78?
Yeah.
I think is what you said. Yeah, so.
Yeah, 1978, and that he died that year.
Yeah.
He died on December 15th, so his last role was just before he died. He was still doing it. His career was, you know, really in the 60s and 70s, other than a few things. You know, once he started, he just kept going. When he was with the Avalon Boys in 1936, he was a singing cowhand. He was lead singer of the Avalon Boys.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Boy, time is getting away from me today.
It is.
I looked down, and I'm like, wow.
I don't know what happened to us today. It's running over. I can tell you that.
I know it. All right, before we wrap real quick, what are the two biggest risks with a life settlement?
The biggest risk is it could go over, and you might have to pay premiums. You need to always know that. But remember, we always tell you up front what the premium will be, so you always know. It used to be on page 14. It's now at the end of the contract. But when we send you an invitation, we tell you everything. And the second one is it is not liquid till it matures. You need to always know that. It's not liquid till it matures.
Okay. And you've already been through accreditation, so people know what that is. And with that, considering that you do have to be accredited, the risks really aren't that impactful for most people. So I assume you are business as usual this coming week. Yes?
Yes, we've been busy. We've been doing a lot of life settlements. We've been doing annuities, making transfers, as I talked about it. Getting that done, and a lot of people, if they need to do some of those things, will be glad to handle it and get them on the right deal before they have to start taking money out.
And so one last time for people to call you, come in, do some transfers, get some information, get started, whether it's annuities or life settlements. One last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold. This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.